I want to invite you to the Word now. We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, he who teaches is in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so ends the reading of our word. Today, we're continuing on in our series of life facets. We're continuing to talk about this, and this is the way this series is going. We're talking about our lives, the most precious gift that God has given to us. We're talking about our lives, this thing that God poured out to us, the first thing that you get, the first breath that you ever took until this moment right now. This life that you have been given. And you've lived it out in so many different ways. And each one of those ways you've lived your life, whether it's at work or at school or at family, whether it is in your service, whether it is at play, we've talked about all these different ways, and each one of these ways is like the facet of a diamond. And we're just imagining the light of God shining through us, and we're asking the question, how does the light of God come through us in these different ways? And what does that look like? And if our life is like a diamond, how can we polish it a little bit? How can we make that light shine through just a little bit more clearly to those around us? And today we're talking about our minds. We're talking about the way we can give glory to God through the life of the mind. How we think. And the other thing that I want to talk about here real quick before we get into the life of the mind real specifically is that all of this, this whole series, is based on the notion that our faith will be at the center of our life. That our faith will be at the center of our life. Because if our faith is not at the center of our life, if we have something else at the center of our life, then none of what I'm talking about makes a whole lot of sense. If our desire to grow closer to God and to share the love of God with others is not at the center, if that's a peripheral value for us, if that's out to the side somewhere, then this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If I'm not giving glory to God in all things, if that's not the center of my being, then the rest of this doesn't make sense. If my work, let's say, were at the center of my being, or if my family were at the center of my being, or if my comfort were at the center of my being, and my faith were peripheral to that, off to the side of that, then this doesn't make as much sense. And so I wanted to just show you this. Some of you are more visual learners. And so this is the idea that faith, this idea that we're going to follow God, is at the center of this. Now, as we're talking about our minds, as we're talking about our value of how we go about thinking, there's something that I just want to point out to you. And that is this. Some of you were probably not the valedictorians of your class. I was not. I suspect strongly that some of you were not as well. And if you were, that's okay. We still love you. But when we're talking about the life of the mind, we're not talking necessarily about being the smartest person in class. We're not talking about being the smartest person in the room. We're not talking about if you really were a Christian, you would just spend your entire day buried in a book. Okay? That's not what we're talking about here. So I just want to make that clear that in all of these things, God has given us a certain potential. We read in our scripture today that we're supposed to exercise our gifts in accordance with the gifts that God has given us, right? This light is shining through. So last week we talked about our bodies, right? We talked about our bodies and how we were to honor God with our bodies. And I didn't want to give the impression that if you're not a supermodel, you're not a real Christian. Okay? I don't want to give that. But each one of us has been given us a body, and we do have to be stewards of that body. And today, in the likewise, each one of us has been given a mind. And so the question is, what are we doing with that mind? How are we honoring God with that mind? And what are we putting into it, and what is coming out of it? And so those are the questions that we're going to ask right now. What are we feeding our minds? Have you ever thought in terms of feeding your mind? In that way, have you thought in terms of the things you allow to be put into your mind have an impact on you, right? They have an impact on you. And I want to tell you how I realized this. And for a long time, Darcy and I did not have television in our house. And what makes up, and most of you have watched an hour of television at some point in your life, right? And maybe a few hours even. Sure. And one of the things I noticed after a few months of cutting television out of my life was that I wanted stuff less. Like, I overheard a conversation once that from two of my colleagues that were arguing over whether Android or iPhone was better and which way they should go. And it seemed like a really, really intense debate. And you know, I'm a Mac guy, but I wasn't ever as involved in this debate. And it just kind of confused me a little bit. And then I heard another conversation about the best car to buy. And all of this really was, I listened to these conversations about the stuff that people wanted and kind of wondered, well, why don't I want this stuff as much? And then I realized, I'm not watching commercials anymore. I'm not watching commercials anymore. I'm not seeing the car commercials all the time. I'm not having the which phone is better, what kind of technology is better input into my life. And I realized that when I removed that from my life, I just wanted stuff less. Didn't mean I didn't want stuff at all, but there was a certain amount, a certain influence that got taken out of my life that I had to step back and say, hey, wait a second. Now, when I'm watching commercials, and maybe you're like this too, unless there's a product that really, really interests me, I'm usually thinking about something else. Right? When the Charmin commercial comes on, are you really thinking, whoa, that's some good TP right there? Is that the thought going through your head? Probably not. But at the same time, when I said the word Charmin, every single one of you knew exactly which product I was talking about, right? At some point, that message got into our brains because we saw it so many times. Right. Now, stuff can be a hindrance to our spiritual walk, and for some people, it's not. And I'll let your own conscience decide whether stuff is something that you struggle with. But this is something that can be applied to any area of our life. Any area of our life that will bring us closer to God or bring us further away from God. Any area that will help us to grow in holiness or cause us to walk away. And so if we're looking at violence, do we feed ourselves with violent movies and violent television shows? If we're looking at lust, does that come out in our lives? Is that impacting our relationship with a significant other? If we're looking, maybe at the latest and greatest, if we're looking at things that tell us we need to base our worth upon what is in our checking account, or what is parked in the driveway, or how many toys we have, or what kind of purse you carry, or what kind of shoes you have on your feet. Is this something drawing us closer to God or pushing us further away? What are we feeding our minds? What are we allowing in even when we are not paying any attention? I don't think that's what I put on that slide. Okay. We'll just stick with that one. That's fine. What are we feeding our minds? Now the positive side of this, I just want to encourage you in this, as you go out from this place, to take some time to think about how you're going to feed your mind. And the first thing that I want to submit to you is that this book should be a daily meal for you, as it were. They call it, this is supposed to be daily bread, not cake for special occasions. All right? The Bible should be something that you get, even if you're not spending hours and hours on it, that this should be a good 5 to 10 minutes if you're a beginner. 5 to 10 minutes, right? 5 to 10 minutes. You can take that time and just allow yourself to absorb one of the teachings that's in here. This is a great place to start because we know that this is good. And we'll talk more later on about all the good things that are found in Scripture and about how this can really change lives. Scripture should be first. Now, there are other holy writings. There are other people, you can go to bookstores and you see whole sections of Barnes & Noble that have Christian books in them. And if that's not enough for you, you can go to whole bookstores that are Christian bookstores that, you know, frankly, if it were up to me, I would move in and probably not come out for at least 5 years. But that's just me. But there is so many writings out there that you can draw closer to God with. That there's writings about the history of the church that are worth looking at. There's writings about the beliefs or theology of the church that are worth looking at. There are writings about holy living. There are writings about justice that are going on, things going on in the world that from a Christian perspective we should be investing ourselves into. So many different books have been written. Now, the other thing, you know, you might say, well, that's all well and good, but I'm not much of a reader. Anybody hate reading? No? Okay, there's one honest person in the room. Okay, good. There are some folks that just can't stand reading. And so, you know what that we have now? We live in a great age of podcasts and YouTube clips. You can plug in to things that will bring you closer to God all the time. Now, every week I preach a sermon, but every week I also try to take some time to listen to a sermon from somebody. And I will go onto the internet and I will pull up one of my favorite preachers from YouTube and I'll listen. You know, today we've got some great musicians with us. What is your music telling you? What is your music telling you? How is your music informing your mind? How is that drawing you closer to God or pushing you further away? What is it in that? You know, if I were to ask, and I'm almost positive, someday I'm going to actually do this, but there are two books in the pew in front of you. One of them is the Bible and the other one is the hymnal. And if I were to ask you, give you a bunch of pieces of paper and say, I want you to write verbatim every single verse that you can think of from the Bible. Just every single verse that you can think of, how much is in there? And then I were to ask you, and I want you to write every single song that you can think of. Every single song. Every single verse from every single song. Word for word. How many think you could fill up more pages from the Bible? 1, 2, 3. How many think you could fill up more from the hymnal? Yeah, more folks from the hymnal. Right. Because when, and this is, does not necessarily mean that you haven't read the Bible, but when it comes to our memories, if we have songs, if we put something to song, it's easier to remember. It's easier to remember. And so I ask you, what music are you listening to? Because whether you know it or not, you're probably remembering that. You're probably remembering it, and it will impact you. What was it? It was the music. How many of you have ever seen or heard of the musical Wicked? A few of you? Right. A few of you, right. And I went through this phase where I just listened to that over and over and over and over again. And there was a song that the two of the characters sang called Loathing. Loathing. And I just thought it was so cleverly written. And about these two college roommates, how they hated each other. And it was like a love song, but in reverse. And they sang about their loathing for one another. And I listened to this song over and over and over again when I was in seminary, and one day I realized that I looked across the hall and at the person living across, and it was like, wow, I'm starting to like this person a lot less. And they haven't done anything. And I went back and I thought, you know, maybe it's time to set this album aside. Maybe it's time to set this album aside. It's starting to be a little bit too much. And I wonder if you can point to points in your life where you have indulged in something that was great in terms of style, but not so great in terms of substance. How do we have a godly mind? A mind that glorifies God. A mind that seeks after God. And I submit to you today that those things that we allow in will be the things that determine whether that facet of our life shines brightly or becomes very dusty. And I leave you with that to ponder how you are going to glorify God with your mind. Would you pray with me? God, you are the one who gives us all measures of grace. You're the one who decided what kind of an IQ we were capable of. But you are also the one who set us within the context of being able to develop our minds. And so we give you glory this day. And we ask that you would show us this week how we can honor you with our thoughts. And from our thoughts, may our words and our actions flow that bring glory to you and that show this community and this world how much you love us. That we would not get caught up only in discussion about you, but that we would live for you. And all God's people said, Amen.